Thank you for coming back today. And if you've been with us, then you know we're focused on the truth. God is holy. According to the Bible, God is holy, holy, holy. We've been in both the Old and New Testament and through the visions of Isaiah and John up into heaven and down on earth with Jesus in Mark's gospel as well. Now, if you missed the last three broadcasts, please be sure to download the free podcast of God Is and get caught up soon. Just go to the WEZ website and click on podcasts. God Is will be there, 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com, and look for God Is under the link marked podcasts. Do not miss what has come before now. As we have seen, God is definitely holy, but the question that emerges is this: what does the Bible mean by holy as applied to God? What is His holiness? What does it mean for God to be holy? Let's look at this today. As many of you know, originally the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and most of the New Testament in the Greek language. Both the Hebrew and Greek words for holy mean to separate. But I want to make sure you understand the depth of meaning, especially when we talk about God's holiness. Later, we will talk about our holiness. Let me lean again here on theologian R.C. Sproul, who I mentioned last time. He writes this, and I really like it. Quote, "The primary meaning of holy is to separate. It comes from an ancient word that means to cut or to separate. To translate this basic meaning into contemporary language would be to use the phrase a cut apart. Perhaps even more accurate would be the phrase a cut above something," unquote. Isn't that good? Now think about when you say something is a cut above the rest. It's excellent. It's supreme. It is high caliber. It's preeminent. And God is certainly all of these, but Sproul deepens our understanding. He continues, quote, "God's holiness is more than just separateness. His holiness is transcendent. When we speak of the transcendence of God, we are talking about that sense in which God is above and beyond us. Transcendence describes His supreme and absolute greatness. God in His consuming majesty, His exalted loftiness." When the Bible calls God holy, it means primarily that God is transcendently separate. He is so far above and beyond us that He seems totally foreign to us. End quote. Isn't that also true? It's so well said. The reason that we experience such radical separation from God is that God is holy and we are unholy. And this is why the holiness of God must be understood, because God is treated too often like He's just one of us. A friend, the big guy upstairs, a good luck charm, someone who shows up almost magically when you're really in deep trouble and poof, He gets you out of it. He's an image on a t-shirt, a name dropped in and out of conversation and easily and nonchalantly cursed. In our sin, the human race attempts to reach up and pull down God to our corrupt way of life and living, to drag Him through our muck and mire. But God is not like us. He cannot be pulled down. God is separate from us. God is a cut high above us. God is the consuming majesty. He is exalted loftiness. God is transcendently separate. And the psalmist really understood in praise to God just how transcendently separate, just how holy God is. Just sit back and listen now to the psalmist as I read from seven different psalms. I'll begin in Psalm 99. Psalm 99, verse 3, "Let them praise Your great and awesome name. Holy is He." Psalm 99, verse 5, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Holy is He." Psalm 99, verse 9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God." Psalm 22 and verse 3, "You are holy." Psalm 71, verse 22, and Psalm 89, verse 18, God is called Holy One of Israel. Psalm 97, verse 12, His holy name. Psalm 103 and verse 1, and Psalm 145, verse 21, "Bless His holy name." Psalm 105, verse 3, "Glory in His holy name." Psalm 48 and verse 1 describes God's holy mountain. Psalm 98 and verse 1 describes God's holy arm. And this extends well beyond the Psalms. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 3 says, knowledge of the Holy One. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 27 says, their prayer came to his holy dwelling place in heaven. Isaiah writes about God as the Holy One all over the place. And Jeremiah 51 verse 5 also calls God the Holy One of Israel. Joshua 24 verse 19, Holy God, Jealous God. I read all of those verses on this way on purpose, just to kind of inundate you with the holiness of God. No wonder that in the year 1826, a man named Reginald Heber wrote the grand old hymn that I just love. Holy, holy, holy. It goes like this. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye made blind by sin, thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy. There is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. I can remember well singing that as a boy in church. In fact, that was hymn number one in the hymnal, and that was intentional. We begin by singing that God is holy. Just like the seraphim and the four living creatures that we talked about the other day, they cry out before God in heaven, holy, 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 and we believers cry out the same from here. By the way, for those of you who do not know what a hymnal is, I'll pray for you. But no wonder you do not know. Today, in a majority of churches, we are stuck with computers that splash lyrics to choruses across big screens. Now, that would be one thing, I suppose, if we embrace technology to sing the words of the great and long-standing hymns of the faith. It's the words I'm interested in preserving, because the words of most hymns often reflect good theology, the Bible in song. That's what you get in a hymn. What we are missing in most churches today is the hymn, and it has been sadly replaced with songs that focus way too much on us. It seems to be all about me, when it's really all about God. Worship is all about God. Christian friends, be careful that you never make worship about you. Just think of how this hymn, Holy, 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 repeats what we've learned in Isaiah and John's vision of heaven. The majority of choruses we sing today do not do that, sadly. So, I'm talking today about what the Bible means by holy as applied to God, and I've given you a definition of holiness. Tomorrow, I want to use our time together to pivot to how God's holiness touches us here in our lives by showing you how God commanded holiness of the ancient Jews. But today, I want to end by taking you to Jesus. In John's Gospel, in the 17th chapter, Jesus is in prayer. This is a mighty prayer, the greatest prayer ever prayed, and it stretches across the entire chapter, all 26 verses. It's also packed full of truth about who God is. Listen to how Jesus addresses God. He begins in verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father. Jesus calls God his Father. This is intimacy. The Son now talks to the Father. The Father now listens to everything the Son has to say in prayer. And by the way, when you read this prayer, you will quickly see that much of it is a prayer for Christ's followers. That's many of us. In verse 3, Jesus says, You, the only true God. There is one God, and He is our Father. Here, Jesus affirms that He has already said, there are not multiple gods, but only one God, and Jesus leads us to him. In verses 5, 21, and 24 of John 17, Jesus again calls God Father. And in verse 25, Jesus calls God, O righteous Father. And we're going to come to the meaning of righteous soon. It's well connected to holiness. But what I really want you to see is John chapter 17 and verse 11. I'm reading now the prayer of Jesus in John 17, 11. You, Holy Father. Notice the title Jesus gives to God the Father. He calls him Holy Father. My friends, the Pope is not the Holy Father. Francis is not the Holy Father. There is only one Holy Father, and he is God. This is what Jesus teaches us so clearly in his earthly prayer. Ending our time with Jesus is always a great way to conclude. And again, I want to urge you to read Jesus, primarily in the Gospels, at the start of the New Testament in the Bible. Become obsessed with Jesus. Read about him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just pick up a Bible today and start reading. You cannot go wrong. You'll meet Jesus. You'll learn what the gospel is, the good news, and your life will begin to be changed. Jesus is alive today. He is pursuing a dynamic relationship with each one of you. Some of you are outside of relationship with Christ, and you feel that separation every day, whether you realize it or not. I urge you to turn to Christ today. And please, come back tomorrow and join me as we continue to learn the reality, the fact that God is holy.